You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That is Dad Jokes with a track called Bad Idea, and that is part of the We Love Whammy Wine Cellar compilation, which is evidently raising money for those very good venues. And the person who put it together is Anthony Metcalf from 100% Good. Kia ora, how are you?
I'm good, Rachel, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's lovely to have you up in the studio and talking about this awesome album which came out just before Christmas time.
Yeah.
How's it been? How's the reception of this been?
Considering it came out like 3 or 4 days before Christmas, the reception's been really good, actually. When I kind of wanted to start the project, it was a lockdown idea because, we all had a lot of time on our hands.
Mm.
And, I guess I kind of didn't realize how much I was biting off at the time. But I'm glad we could get it out last year. And, really glad at the response. It got picked up by NME, bizarrely.
Whoa, awesome. Australia. That's great.
The local response has been really great, supporting people buying it and streaming it. And I'm really happy with the result.
Yeah, it's an awesome record. I mean, the people you've got on here range from Marlon Williams, you've got Princess Chelsea, Reb Fountain, Salad Boys, Soulfate, Womb, Yumi Zuma, AC Freezy, The Beths, Carbon Carb, and heaps more. That's not even half of it, really. It's an amazing collection local talent. And also people that have got really like strong connections with those venues as well.
Totally.
You are like a promoter, you put gigs on, you make really cool stuff happen through 100% Good. And I mean, it's no sort of surprise to anyone that the last year's been extremely hard for people working in that industry.
Mm.
What were some of the reasons why you decided this would be a couple of venues that you really wanted to support over this time?
I guess during the lockdowns, I was basically emailing a bunch of people. I don't know if you remember how crazy it was in like March and April,
because
we didn't know how long, everything was going to go on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything was kind of crazy and, people were struggling with rent and there weren't any gigs happening and I was just trying to think. It was before the Save Our Venues campaign kind of hit the ground, and I was just trying to think of a way that artists could contribute to these spaces without, you know, contributing money.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of where it came from. As far as the, you know, lineup of artists goes, I mean, I cast the net quite wide, but I think what you said before about people having the connection, you know, it was those people who were quite, you know, responsive and reaching back. And, you know, making the effort, like Marlon recorded his track specially for the compilation. It didn't exist before.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I kind of see it as a reflection of the community's kind of support of those venues, which was also reflected in the Save Our Venues campaign, which, you know, they smashed in like 24 hours. It was crazy.
Totally. Yeah. And that was, I think that was a real high point of that first lockdown for me, was literally just sitting there refreshing the crowdfunding page.
It was
so nice. Yeah.
I remember when they were asking for, 50, I thought, it was really great. And I guess that's also why I could kind of, the brakes were off with this, because they had already kind of raised that money and I could just work on making it really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, the response from the artists was amazing. And there were obviously people who were keen to contribute but didn't have the music available. But those people were like really supportive of what was happening and stuff. So
that's really nice. Yeah.
Definitely made it easy.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, we are still in a very uncertain world. We're so lucky in New Zealand at the moment that we're able to have gigs, have festivals and that sort of thing. And long, touch wood, may that continue. But it is a very sort of uncertain time for the industry. What's been some of your biggest, I guess, learning curves about this year? What kind of things will you be taking away from this period and kind of moving forward?
I guess one thing with live music is it's quite, it's pretty like tenuous at the best of times, and it's all based around selling tickets. But I guess before this time, you always think, even worst case scenario, the gig would still happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless some kind of crazy event happened or there was a health issue. But it has definitely taught me that, you know, these things are kind of, and it potentially could change at any time. And I guess that just changes how you think about things or maybe what you risk on the table. Because I did a bit of touring of international acts before, and that's pretty risky at the best of times. And now it was just like, you know, I had two tours for Frankie Cosmos and Alex G last year that just disappeared.
I had tickets to both of those, and you know what? One day we'll get to see them. One day, but
it was pretty crazy. And I remember thinking the Frankie Cosmos band actually pulled out before all this kind of international lockdown stuff happened, and I remember thinking at the time, "Oh, really?" Because we were so
naive.
Exactly. Like, it was bad in the US then, worse than it was, you know, down our way. You know, even if they hadn't done that, it wouldn't have happened. So.
Yeah, it is. I think we're all learning to just not take it for granted and enjoy it while we've got it as well. What do you think are going to be, I guess, some of the big changes for the industry out of this? Are we going to have to find new sustainable ways of making music happen? Are we going to have to get new funding models to make music happen? And particularly local stuff, because, as you say, people rely on gigs to pay their rent. It's people's industries. You know, I'm thinking about the awful campaigns we've seen in the UK of the government sort of suggesting people in the arts retrain, which is just ridiculous and terrible. I think nobody's suggesting that's a good idea. But how do we make sure that our industry is able to be sustainable, because we want to keep having music, we need the arts, we need that stuff? What would you like to see, I guess, support wise
Well, I guess from my perspective, the support here has been pretty amazing. When you compare it with even Australia, what's happening over there. I don't know if you know, there's a Aotearoa Touring Fund that was set up by the Music Commission, which is basically doing kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Funding local touring, and, you know, they're trying to support basically all parts of the industry, you know, the venues and the techs and all these people, so, and the artists, of course. So I mean, you know, as far as support, I reckon that one's pretty amazing. And, you know, they're offering that to small acts right up to, you know, large kind of stadium acts. So I don't know, the support from the audiences has been pretty amazing so far. There are a few people kind of talking about, oh is it gonna last? But I kind of think we're in a good position, and yeah, I guess it would just be cool for there to be more opportunities maybe for the acts that like haven't had them up until now.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like that's a part of the market that hasn't really, you know, had much growth.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get those new people through the door as well. It's totally. Always a good thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy because I know lots of people have had a really, really hard time, but I've actually been really busy. So I'm just like, feeling bad about that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It is, I think, if it's taught us anything or is teaching us anything, it's how important those communities are. Mm. You know, having an album like this, which is an incredible testament to the way a community wants to come together around music and around venues and around the people that they'd normally see down at the pub or, totally. You know, in the festival field, that kind of thing. All kind of coming together, that stuff is the thing that's really like, you know, the nub of it, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Totally. And I think it kind of, you know, venues really to me are like people first and physical space is second. So it's kind of like, you know, if Whammy and Wine Cellar were run by different people, they would be, this community may not exist.
Mm.
So I think it's definitely a testament to them. And yeah, I hope people will stream it and maybe purchase it if they want to support. And
where is the place to go to purchase it?
They can find it on Bandcamp. It's called We Love Whammy and Wine Cellar. And the artwork is produced by Chris Stapp, who does a lot of street art on K Road and mm-hmm. Gig posters and stuff. He's really great. And it was mixed by Jonathan from The Beths as well. So it's kind of a fully K Road project.
Big old K Road family project.
Absolutely.
Someone wants to know if it's going to be put on vinyl at any point.
That's a good question. I know Lucy from the venue wants to. So I guess the answer is yes.
Awesome. Let's watch this space. That sounds very exciting. Hey, Anthony, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. I think we should play Carb on Carb. It's been a rough year, which is, you know, pretty much an understatement to say the least.
Totally. It's one of the highlights on the album, I reckon.
It's a huge tune. This was live at Upoko Alpine Resort back in 2018. Is that right?
Strings player, if I remember correctly.
Oh, very cool.
It was very good.
Hey, thank you so much for coming in and thank you so much for putting this record together. We'll see you on the dance floor.
Cheers.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.